Football is back in full swing, and even though you might not be at the game this year, you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. And there is the online casino as well that never closes. So head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
You're listening to the Hog Talk Podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network.
With us on the line is the voice of the Arkansas Razorback, Chuck Barrett.
A former guest of the show, Coach Mike Nabors from the Arkansas women's basketball team.
We have from ESPN's Around the Horn, highly questionable. Also a two-time Dan Le Batard Show Suey winner and the former heptathlete at Cornell, Sarah Spain.
And we are happy to be joined by Martrell Spate.
Mr. Phil Elson, the voice of Razorback baseball and the Ladybacks.
Razorback Nation, welcome into a bonus episode of the Hog Talk Podcast. I am your host, Kyle Sutherland, alongside Kevin Bohannon. We are happy to be joined on the Workman's Travel Center hotline, Razorback legend, now coach, Anthony Lucas. And before we get into that, I want to let you guys know that since 2008, Workman's Travel Center has made it their statement to provide a clean, friendly, and professional environment for their customers. With locations in Rudy, Lowell, and Ozark, Workman's offers a variety of merchandise and quality food, including the Rise and Shine breakfast, Hilltop Special, desserts, and much more. Visit their website at workmanstravelcenters.com to learn more. Workman's Travel Center, where we are more than convenient. Coach, really appreciate you coming on. It's great to be talking with you.
Oh, no doubt. I'm great. It's great to be on. Thank you all for having me.
Well, we'll start out, first of all. So, as I mentioned, you've been coaching now for about 6-7 years. Is it around that range?
I'm on my ninth year.
Year, okay. So a little bit longer, yeah. And I've been coaching at Pulaski Academy, who especially over the last about 10 years or so has been the dynasty of 5A. And has it been 5A the whole time, or have you guys spent some time in 6A as well?
Well, since I've been there, it's been 5A.
Mm-hmm. 5A. So, yeah, 5A, over that time span, I believe it's up to about 8-9 state championships right now. Big time there. And so – you guys are 5-0 right now. Talk about the season that you're having. I've actually got to saw you all play in game one against Robinson. Just great so far. The two quarterback system seems to be working.
Yeah, it's going pretty good right now. You know, with that, it has its ups, it has its downs. However, more ups than downs, and we're still figuring that out and trying to work it out. But right, it's working. I mean, we're 5-0. You know, a lot of people can say what they want to say about us, but we are 5-0, and it's been great. Kids are responding well, and they're just doing what we ask them to do, and that's what makes it so easy. And I mean, you know, you don't worry about what people think and, you know, what they say outside of PA Pulaski Academy Bruin football. You know, you let the coaches coach, and hey, if something goes bad, it's all on us, and that's how it is. But man, it's been great. What's amazing is our two quarterbacks. They work together. They're pulling for each other. You never hear them, you know, point the finger or doing – it's none of that. Those guys do a lot together, and they pull for each other.
Luke, y'all have really built a culture over there, and it starts with Coach Kelly. But you've got something that you put out on social media every day, and I want you to talk about it. You put out there, you say, make a play today. What does that really mean?
Well, I want to tell you that that's something Coach Hill used to always tell us. Fitz Hill, who's my wide receiver coach at Arkansas and who's one of the biggest reasons why I'm in the state of Arkansas, he would always tell us, you know, hey, let's go out there and make a play. You know, let's go get ready. You know, always would tell us that. And that's something – it's this little thing like that. And it stuck with me. And, you know, I guess – throughout my career and then throughout my daily life now, as I've gotten older and a lot more mature, I was thinking of something catchy that, you know, I'm not on Facebook, but I was thinking of something catchy that I could do every day or something. I could just encourage somebody every day on Twitter, and that's to tell them make a play. You know, I try to just give them a quote. I'm not on there a whole lot talking a lot of this and that. But, you know, I look kind of read quotes and look up stuff. And, you know, sometimes I just come off my head with the way I feel that day. and I always tag it at the end, hashtag make a play today. And what I mean by that is just making a play in life, you know, helping somebody out, whether it's, you know, putting a smile on a person's face or opening a door for somebody or whatever it is, try to make a play, basically a positive play on every day. You know, just don't take life for granted, enjoy. And that's basically what I mean by making a play today. Seriously, make a play today, not just for yourself, but someone else.
You brought up Fitz Hill, and he was actually going to be a part of my next question. You grew up in Tallulah, Louisiana, mm-hmm. on the northeast corner of, like, near the Mississippi line. You're a really good basketball player. I know that Fitz Hill really, as they say, the doctor of football on the buzz. He noticed you on the basketball court. And yeah. Was that really where your recruiting began at Arkansas, or did it start with football? Did he contacted you that way? How did all that go down?
No, it really started with football. You know, I was recruited by a lot of people, but with Dr. Hill, Coach Hill, I called him everything. He has so many titles. It was with football, and I recall on one of the recruiting visits, he came down and actually played me in one-on-one before. And it was crazy. And he was guarding. He said, if I win, you got to come to the University of Arkansas. And this was one night after practice. You know, he came down. I mean, he recruited me really hard. And so we played a game, and he was stroking it. Boy, he made a couple. And, you know, I bagged him down a little bit, made a couple shots. And if I recall the last point when we played, I dunked on him. I actually got a little break, and I dunked. And then he said he was shook. He was just, man, he really put a lot into it. And, man, that won me over, even though I didn't choose Arkansas right off the bat. But, and I just had a lot of respect for him. And we had a phenomenal relationship and still do.
Even when Kevin and I were in high school, there was no Twitter. You still had to pretty much send in your film. Now, mm-hmm. not that I was recruited or anything, but you had to send your film in to coaches, or occasionally they found you. How did Fitz Hill find you? Did you send your – I know you said it was football, but did you send your stuff in? Did they come down to scout you? How did all that go down?
Well, you know, I tell kids this even today. If you're balling, they're going to be calling. And he just did his work. I mean, he saw the stats, I assume, from when I was putting up, and, you know, he jumped on me, and he started recruiting my area hard, because if you notice, I went there, and then we signed Michael Williams and Michael Snowden. Michael Williams from Bastrop, Louisiana, Michael Snowden from Newton, Louisiana, and then Marvin Caston, who played linebacker, was from Winsboro. So, you know, he hit that area. I guess, you know, they had access to everything that you can have on recruiting kids back in the days. And of course it wasn't social media. It was just guys getting information, I guess, from the newspaper, and, you know, our names just popping up on the radar some type of way. And that's how he got in contact with me.
One of your first big moments, now in 1995, you had a pretty big freshman season, all SEC honors. You guys went to the first ever SEC championship game that Arkansas had been to. And the Alabama game, everybody talks about when Barry Lunney Jr. rolled right and hit J.J. Metters for the winning touchdown, 20-19. Mm-hmm. But nobody talks about the 31-yard reception that you had on 4th-and-8. Run us through that play. Do you remember the details of it?
Yes, I want to say this. I had been doing jumping jacks the entire game, and I was just wanting Barry. I'm like, I was open a lot during the game, but it was always, you know, it was Anthony Eubanks and J.J. Metters who he was looking for. But that play right there, when he was looking, he looked to the opposite side, and I just ran a curl route, and I'm sitting over there again doing jumping jacks, like, throw me the ball. And he was flushed out of the pocket, and he rolled to his right, and there he was. He threw it to me. I don't know if he was praying that I hope Luke catch the ball, but, hey, I wanted the ball. And it was so shocking and surprising that he threw it to me. You know, if you see that film, I caught the ball and I ran for a couple yards and I tripped over my own feet because I was so excited. But yeah, that was a huge play in my career. It was a huge play for us at that time. And we went on and JJ trapped the ball and we ended up beating Alabama.
And you only had one game in 96 you played, correct? You were injured that year?
Yeah, I got hurt. Yes, I got hurt against SMU
Okay, and then that takes us to the MCL. That's right. So it takes us to 97, and then the two breakout years, so to speak. You know, everybody knew the deep threat that you were. And Kyle and I got to talking earlier in that you're still at the top of the SEC in yards per catch just to this day with 21 yards per catch and ninth in the NCAA. You were a deep threat before it was really a big thing, before the spread offenses and everything. What was your secret to getting open so much, and whether it be yards after catch, the yak, run after catch? What was your secret then? What were some of the tricks of the trade that you used?
Well, when I was growing up and playing ball at high, actually elementary, you know, we would go out and play football, and I would always run deep. We would play in the streets, and then we would play in backyards when we could. And I always would go deep, and they would always just throw it up, and I would find a way to catch the football. And then it just carried over with me throughout my career. And I really think that had a lot to do with me being successful at being a deep threat and knowing how to judge the ball. Did a lot of drills as a kid growing up, just throwing the ball up. Had a guy named Jimmy Harris that worked with me and that was teaching me how to, you know, throwing balls up to me, throwing balls at my face with my nose planting on the goalpost. You know, just doing a lot of different drills. Not like what they're doing now. These kids got so many resources now. So I was just old school. And I really think those drills and me growing up just running deep all the time. And the reason I ran deep all the time, I'm not going to lie, I didn't want to get hit. I was scared of getting tackled. Yes, I did not like it. But it paid off. So, and it helped me and, you know, became a deep threat. You know, you brought up that SEC record. It was about 2 or 3 years ago. Madison Taylor was our co-defensive coordinator and linebackers coach. They joke with me all the time. I get called superstar. I get called this. And I always tell Coach Kelly now, I'm just Anthony. And until this day, I've been there 9 years, and they still hammer me. And Madison, one day, like I said, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, Madison Taylor just looked up some stuff, and he said, Anthony, I don't know if you really know this or you really keep up with this kind of stuff, and which I don't because I'm not that type of person. But he said, you still hold the record in most yards per catch in the SEC. He said, now think about that. Look at all the guys that have come through the SEC, you know, until this day. He said, you still hold the record. And I was like, wow, I couldn't believe it. So after I got from around Madison, of course, I kind of looked it up and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So, yeah. So yeah, I still hold that record, and I'm blessed and fortunate to be there.
Talking about right before when we had talked about you, you hurting your knee in 1996, 97, you came back, caught 4 touchdowns. Well, after the 97 season, there was a coaching change, and Danny Ford and Coach Nutt, obviously two totally different personalities, and you know, at least from the outside looking in, the locker room definitely needed a change. Talk about whenever, and we've all heard the stories about when Coach Nutt, the way that he came in and brought you guys together. What was it like from Anthony Lucas's standpoint, seeing a breath of fresh air like Coach Nutt come in and really just believe in a bunch of great players that just really didn't know how to win at that time?
Well, it was well needed. Well needed. We needed that, with all due respect to Coach Ford and everybody who coached on his staff throughout those three years or so that I played under him. It was time for a change. It was – there's a lot of division amongst our team, and Coach Nutt came in and changed the culture, like you said, and brought us together. He made us feel important. He believed in us. He said he went to Frank Broyles and after watching film on all of us and knew what he had coming back in 1998, he said, why are we having problems? Why are there problems with this group? These guys can play. They just didn't believe in each other. And he felt, when he first walked in the room, in that first team meeting room, he felt the division. But he brought us together. He changed us right off the bat. I mean, it was unbelievable the way when he asked us to stand up in that room and switch seats and say, put blacks and whites over together. And just, he brought us together as a family. And man, from that day on, we bought into what he was preaching, he and the staff was preaching, and what they were teaching. And we just We just wanted to go play for him. We would run through a brick wall for him. We just needed to feel important. And, you know, a lot of guys had lost that mojo, including myself. It was tough, but man, like I said, he changed it. And we it was a nice run for those 2 years that I spent with him. And that's one of the reasons why I decided to come back and play in 1999 was because of Coach Nutt. That was one of the reasons I wanted to get my degree too. Because I know that was, I would have had to have some paperwork to fall back on because I knew football would end at some point in time. But one of the big reasons was to come back to play for him in Fitz Hill one more year. So
Luke, yeah, you just answered my question. I was going to ask you about coming back in 99, but I want to ask you about Coach Nutt and some of the styles and some of the teachings that you've taken from him and Coach Hill, because at halftime of the Tennessee or the Texas replay on KETV the other night, you and Clint and Coach Nutt were on there giving some insight on the game, and you can mm-hmm. still tell that relationship exists, and he loves you guys like you're his son. So yeah. What did you take from him and Coach Hill that you still use to this day?
Well, the energy, of course, that he brings, I've taken that. I've watched him as a father. I've watched Coach Hill as a father. The way they carry themselves and how they feel about just people, you know, that's one of the biggest things I've learned about them. And coaching-wise, for me, more so with Fitz Hill, the way he coached, I coached my guys hard, you know. Coach Hill was very big on doing the little things right because he always thought the little things would help us get open and help us be successful on the football field. And then, you know, just not on the field, but in the classroom too, you know, visiting with your teachers, doing this. And then I instill that in my kids. And I always tell my kids, you know, character. Character takes you a very long way. You know, football, athletics could be taken from you tomorrow, but when when God calls you home, you want to be remembered the type of person that you are. And that's the things I learned from Fitz Hill and Houston. And I take that with me. And, you know, so much he taught me on Coach Hill did on the football field. Like I said, I just took a page out of his book and applied it to what Coach Kelly, you know, wanted me to teach the receivers and how he wanted things ran at PA. And, you know, it's been great. It's been great. Like I said, I've been there 9 years, and we've been to 6 straight state championships and won 5. And it has a lot to do with the kids buying in and to coaching and the kids, you know, doing the right thing and having good character and all those things that I just talked about. So, and it's truly a blessing.
And Coach, we all know about the catch at Tennessee. You've told that story many, many times and forever go down. I'm sure I'll be telling my kids about it. My kids will be telling their kids. It's still talked about every single year and as it should mm-hmm. be. But what about your personal life? You know, we know about you're an athlete, your football career. What's just a typical day in the life? I know that you probably don't have a whole lot of free time. I know you've got a family. You've got a couple daughters, correct?
Yes, two.
Two daughters. And so what – if there's some free time in the Lucas family, what do y'all like to do?
You know, one thing we do like to do, we like to go out and eat. I wish that's one thing I wish we could stop doing. That's a lot. We like to hang out here at the house. You know, my wife, she get these girls. And we are homebodies a lot, but we'll go out from time to time. Daddy, and we'll go, and like my youngest is right next to me right now. She's 3 years old, just calling me. So we, you know, my wife is from Dallas. So when I do get a little free time, Kyle and Kevin, we'll go to Dallas and see my in-laws. And then my sister lives out there too. And I have 2 nephews out there. So we'll go to Dallas and, you know, try to do things in the summertime when it's right. We'll try to hit up an amusement park or hit a little water park, something like that. And so, you know, just do that. But most of the time, man, during this time of the year, I come home and, you know, it's less, daddy, daddy, daddy. I have to give it all to them.
Yeah, you had soccer tonight, right?
Yes, had a talk. Left practice, unfortunately. Was happy we got out of practice early. And my oldest plays at Bluebird. She's 9, Cassidy. and I went and saw her, and she scored a goal tonight, made daddy proud, excuse me, made me proud. And the mom and my wife and my youngest girl, Kaylee, they stayed home tonight so that we, you know, it's kind of school night and just want to make sure we can get these girls together. But my time is to, you know, my family, PA, and like, and just enjoying life, man, you know. So, but I'm a fun guy. I can tell you this now. We sing a lot in my household. I sing, I dance. Gosh almighty, I do it, and I get the girls to sing and dance with me too. And my wife, she gets a little, will y'all please shut up? Will y'all please just be quiet? So, but we do a lot of that, and we talk loud, and I chase them, you know, just chase them around the house, just try to make it fun for them. So,
you mentioned your wife being from Dallas, and I wanted to ask you a couple questions about your time there as a Cowboy. But starting off with your NFL career, you were drafted by the Packers in the fourth round in 2000. Now, that was around the prime of Brett Favre's career, so I have to ask you. I know you've got at least a story or two for him.
Yes, man, it was great. When I received that call on, you know, in 2000 to go to the Packers, I was like, wow, I'm going to play with the greatest, one of the greatest quarterbacks that ever played the game, Brett Favre. And so I had to – when I first saw him, when he came in and we got up for a camp and I saw him, I was like, wow, that's Brett Favre. That's Brett Favre. And, you know, my locker was – you know, not close to his, but it was kind of ways where I could see him when he walked in. I'm like, so it was cool. I had to kind of understand, like, we working together now. This is a business. So, you know, I need to get to know Brett and throwing the ball. And he, you know, he knew of me, you know, because he knows, he observes every draftee that comes in. Brett Favre is going to know a little bit about you. But I can tell you two stories real quick about Brett Favre. He is the funniest guy that I've ever seen. He would come in and give his offensive lineman the hardest time ever. He gives the trainers, he would come in and put on, he had a CD where he would come in the morning, and of course I was in the training room, he would put on Roy D. Mercer, the guy who calls.
Yeah.
I remember Roy D. Mercer.
Oh, boy.
How big a boy are you?
Yeah. Brett loves that and just have – I mean, he brought a great vibe to the locker room and to everything. So he was big on that, joking around, playing. But when it was down to business, of course, he was business. Like, Brett, it's like maybe 20 degrees, about 4 or 5 inches of snow on the ground. You know, Brett gets to park his car right up by the facility, right almost at the door. He walks in with shorts and a shirt on. I was like, he is crazy, because it's freezing in Green Bay. So he was a fun, very funny guy. And also remember the time he broke Donald Driver's finger too, throwing the ball. He threw the ball so hard. And people, you know, y'all know y'all heard tons of stories, but it whistled. And I mean, it whistled. He threw it so hard. Yep.
Well, but a funny guy. Yeah, going to your career at the Cowboys. So a little about me, I'm a diehard, lifelong Cowboys fan. Of course, a lot of the years have been pretty painful, but I remember when Clint Sterner went to the Cowboys, and then you, I guess, the next year after that, or I guess it was the same year, yeah, 2000, because Clint went undrafted and signed with them. And I was extremely excited to see that. And that really wasn't too long. I know that they had started to struggle around that time, but that wasn't too far off from the Super Bowl. But what I wanted to ask you about is, when you got there, it was documented on Hard Knocks when Jerry Jones was consoling you, when you were obviously and completely understandably very emotional after your knee injury, probably knowing that was going to be about the end of your football career. And Jerry Jones comes up and he can tell how genuine that moment was, that he truly cared about you and that he was just heartbroken to see what had happened. Jerry Jones has gotten a lot of disdain from a lot of – he's a very polarizing figure in sports, whether it be his views on the national anthem protest or the way he runs his team. What would you have to say about the kind of guy that – because personally, I think he is a genuine human being. What would you say from your standpoint how it was being on his team?
Love him. Still see him to this day. He knows who I am, and he's – every time I've seen him, he always asks me, how are my parents doing? Even early part of the year when I was inducted into the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame, he got a chance to see my parents, and he was like, he spoke to them before he spoke to me. He was genuine. He cares about his players. People can – so say what they want to say. Jerry really cares about his players. He's for his players no matter what. I really enjoyed playing for him in Dallas because he cared. And, you know, he knew how hard I had worked. And even Emmitt Smith and all those guys, I mean, I put in a lot of time. You know, that was the second time when they featured us on HBO Hard Knocks in 2002. And that's the second time I broke my kneecap. So, and, you know, it was good. You know, I was just shook up. I was so emotional. I hated because I knew that was going to be it for me. Seven knee surgeries. I was getting ready to face the seventh one after I had that when I broke my patella that time. But it was just great. And I'm happy that I left that type of impact on Jerry's life. But I think he knows the type of person that I am. And he knows that I'm here in Little Rock working at Pulaski Academy and, you know, just doing some positive things in the state of Arkansas. So he always shows me love every time I see him.
Luke, I was really excited when my Packers drafted you. It was jubilation for me that day. And then you went to the Cowboys, but I'm always a lifelong fan. And then now I get to call you a friend that I got to coach against you and now officiate some games for you. But I want to talk about the current state of the Hogs. Coming off a win this past week, they look like they just weren't out there and trying to get after it. They look like they really wanted to compete, and they had some dog about them. And going into this week, what are your impressions so far on the young season?
I'm excited the way we're playing. You know, it's still a lot of things that we're going to have to work on, but I am so happy to see that these guys are playing with a lot of passion. They're really being discipled. I'm anxious to see how much further and how high we can go. I'm not going to go saying that we're going to win the rest of our games or whatever, but what I'm excited to see, guys, is that they're playing hard. They're playing hard. They're playing with a purpose. They're playing for a purpose now. And just to see Coach Pittman get on Woods for getting that stupid penalty for shoving a guy back, you know, that's something we hadn't seen in a while. And you know that this team is more disciplined. And no disrespect to Chad Morris, but they're more disciplined. And they're buying into the system. They're buying into what he's preaching, what those coaches are teaching. Coach Odom, I mean, he's doing a good job. Kendall Browse, Lord, the offensive coordinator, he's getting it together. There's still some things we need to work on there. And the kids are just playing hard, guys. I know y'all saw it. I mean, that's what Arkansas fans have been missing, that the kids playing, they're loving it. They're truly love playing right now. And with the win at Mississippi State, it means, I guess, we got to build off of that because we're going into a hostile environment in Auburn this week. And you know how it is against Gus Malzahn on, and you know he's going to put it, and Chad Morris there. So they're probably going to leave it all on the table when they play us this year. It's a lot of personal issues and things like that's going on this weekend. But we're going to have to go down there, show up and show out and be ready to execute offensively, defensively, and actually do something special on special teams. So I know that they're preaching that too. Chad Morris is there. These kids are going to be so excited to play because they know they're going against him. So it'll be exciting.
Coach, do you see a lot of similarities in this year's team, kind of like the 97 team going into 98 with, as we mentioned, that breath of fresh air that Sam Pittman, and again, you know, we're not trying to, you know, show any disrespect to Chad Morris or anything or the previous staff, but just for them to come in and really just what it was just a broken program. And to see, as we talked about just for a second here, these players playing so hard, do you see a lot of similarities in that time 23 years ago?
Oh, yes and no. I mean, yes, I see a little bit. And, I don't want to, like I said, I just don't want to get too excited right now.
I understand. I'm with you.
I really, now if you catch me after this Auburn game and we go down to Auburn and, you know, and now, yeah, we are at Auburn this week, right?
Yeah.
Am I right? Yeah, it's at Auburn, and then we play Ole Miss.
Yeah, then Ole Miss, yeah. But yeah, we go down to Auburn and we play even better than we played at Starkville. then we can talk, and we'll be able to talk about that a little bit more. So I just don't want to jump the gun, and I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I'm a diehard Hog fan. I love my Hogs, but I just want to continue to see us progress first, and then I'll be able to kind of elaborate on that a little bit more.
Well, Coach, it was great talking to you. I mean, just
I disappointed you, Kyle and Kevin. I'm sorry.
Hey, no.
We're good.
We completely agree. We get grief because we're not sunshine pumping. So
yeah,
we can certainly appreciate that straight from someone who really has a lot more credibility than we do, especially on this subject. So
no, I don't. I'm just Anthony. You guys do a phenomenal job. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm so excited to see the way our kids are playing, though.
Yeah.
And hopefully, like I said, hopefully we build off of last week's victory and you know, it's going to be even better. You know, I got to send Coach Miles on a text message, though. You know, he and I were inducted into the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame in March together. So
that's right.
I got to send him a message and say, all right, you know, I'm going to send him. I don't know what I'm going to say yet, but I'm going to text him either today or I mean either tonight or tomorrow for sure. And, hey, you know, let him know, mess with him a little bit. So, yeah. But it'll be exciting. I'm looking forward to watching him play.
Yeah, I am too. It's I think that either way, no matter what happens the rest of the year, that we'll have a lot of things to be proud of, especially with the product you put on the field. So.
No doubt. There are a lot of happy Razorback fans this week. So
no doubt. Awesome. It's been great to see. It's definitely a nice for a change. But
yeah,
Coach,
it's
been great,
man,
talking with you. You know, you were one of my first Razorback heroes when I was 7, 8, 9 years old. And as we talked about before we started recording, you know, you came to my high school when I was like a junior in high. I think I was either a sophomore or junior, and still remember the talk. It was a chapel talk that you talked about. You know, it wasn't too far after – it was maybe about 4 or 5 years after your last knee injury. And you mentioned about how God opens one, he closes one door, opens another. And I still try to use that, you know, maybe almost 15 years later in my life. So it's, I'll be straight up honest. A lot of the CAC chapel talks, I do not recall, but that one I do. So,
oh man, I appreciate that.
It's been great to catch up with you and hear some stuff from your perspective and all that. But I'll tell you, from a former Mustang, I wish the Bruins all the luck or all the success. I don't really like the word luck, but all the success that you guys have already had, and I'm sure that will continue moving forward.
Man, I really appreciate it. It's been great. I'm so happy God led me to coach, you know, led me into coaching and teaching, man. I've really enjoyed it, and I'm still enjoying it, and I'm grateful for Coach Kelly giving me this opportunity. And to the Bohannon crew, man, love seeing you guys out doing your job, man. You with your father and your brother, man. That's truly a blessing. And you guys are like you all have so much fun when you guys are out there. And I respect that, man. You know, I'm big on family, and I really really respect you guys. Love seeing you guys too. Thanks for having me, Kyle, Kevin. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Luke. Appreciate it, bud.
All right,
yes, sir.
Y'all be
Thanks
blessed.
So
Thank you. All right, bye.
Well, that will do it for this bonus episode of the Hog Talk Podcast. For Kevin Bohan and Anthony Lucas, my name's Kyle Sutherland. We'll catch you next time.
Go Hogs!